We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord and good afternoon. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we're glad to be coming into your homes, your automobiles, by the computer, whichever way that you are receiving us, lifting up that precious name of Jesus, because there's no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. That's my goal, to lift him up. A lot of people lifts up one thing or another, but my friend, today, if we neglect to lift him up, then he's not going to take us up, as the old saying goes. So it's my desire to win souls for the gospel and for the kingdom of God. It's not my desire to criticize anyone, but, you know, a lot of people does, and they have this and they have that. But it's my earnest desire in my heart to lift up the name of Jesus and to bring you to the attention of what the scripture says, for we're living in days, and I know you've heard me say this many times and probably others too, but I can't express it too much, that we're living in the last days. We're living in the time of the end, and we need to start paying attention to the things and reading the Bible to find out why these things are happening, and when these signs and these things start happening, we will understand. For the scripture teaches us that when we see these things come to pass, then to look up and rejoice, for we know that our redemption draweth nigh. Now, I say that because he was letting us know that if you belong to Jesus Christ, you've been born again, then your troubles are just about ready to be done away with. And my friend, today, those that are not seeking after the Lord, and they're seeking after material things of this world, and they're not believing in God, then they're going to be troubled and saying all kinds of things about these disasters that are happening around the land. And regrettably, and I don't cherish the fact of them happening, but they're just signs of the things of the coming of our Lord, and we may as well get used to the idea and get your heart right with the Lord and be prepared for the things to come, because I believe earnestly in my heart, I do fully believe that they will wax worse as times goes by. And people going about and this and that, and they're looking for this, but my friend, today we need to lean on the salvation of God and not on the arm of flesh or on the government of whatever country it might be and these things, but get our hearts right and our minds set upon the things of God and reading his word and looking to him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Man can't save you. He may can help you along the way from time to time, but he cannot save you. And the wrath that has come upon this land, if you're not right with the Lord, then you're going to suffer the consequences, and you're going to be left out of the kingdom of God, plain and simple. A lot of people are preaching them that left behind are going to have the second chance. But my friend, the scripture doesn't bear record of that. But just want you to know that God is on the throne and he has control and his word is truth, and it's going to all be fulfilled according to his word, and there's nothing you and I can do about it but be prepared. Repent, come unto the Lord and receive him in our lives, and we can escape the things that are yet to come upon this world. And I believe they're going to get worse according to the scriptures. But as we go to prayer at this time, you pray with us and we pray one for another, that God will help us with understanding and help us that we will cleave to him, look to him to guide and direct us and bring us to the place of where he said he would go and prepare for us. But the only way we can prepare for that place is we're going to have to repent and receive him as our Lord and Savior, believing upon him, taking him as his word and believing what he has to say about it. For man can steer you wrong, but the Word of God is going to keep you on the right path. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us spiritually, physically, and financially, and the keeping of us all the days of our life. We thank you for the breath warm out of the nostrils of our God that keeps us functioning because it comes for the breath of life. We thank you for that living waters, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the blessings that you've kept us and supplied our needs down through the years in keeping us by thy love and grace. We pray that you would keep those that are under the sound of our voice. Help us, O God, that we can come together in the unity of the Spirit to worship the one true living God, giving praise and honor unto the Lord God of glory in the blessed name of Jesus. We thank you. We ask that you would touch those that are sick under the sound of our voice. Help us, O God. There's many suffering, many hurting, many without jobs, many without a lot of things that is necessary, but we know that you're able to supply the need. We ask that you, according to your riches in glory, according to your will, that you might meet the needs of your people, O God, and keep us and help us that we may be able to thrive in this land, that we're looking unto the greater things to come in Christ Jesus. And whatever is accomplished in your precious name, we will carefully give you the praise and the honor for it all. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah. I think she'd got something prepared. So, Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here again this afternoon to bring you something that maybe will give you some thought about the things that are going to be happening around and about the world. We are so close to the end time, and it's time, as Brother Compton said, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But this is called 1 Minute to 12. It's a gospel track. And in Acts 2 and 20, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and noble day of the Lord. The midnight hour is upon us, the long foretold hours of darkness unparalleled in the world's history. One by one, the lights are going out." Church attendance. You see less and less people that are going to church now. Observance of the Lord's Day. Legal restraint on social evils such as abortion and gambling. Growing immorality. Illegal, ungodly marriages. Internet and cable TV pornography. Loss of marital faithfulness. Dark, foreboding, and fearful. Midnight is close upon us. In Luke 21 and 26, it says, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Worldwide calamities, international terrorism, revolutions, and epidemics. All these are like the sounds of many bells ringing out the advance notes before the striking of the midnight hour. The darkest night in world history is coming upon us. Please do not let it take you by surprise. The Bible has warned us. History has taught us the utter futility of the feverish efforts of sinful man to save himself. It was for this purpose that God sent his beloved Son Jesus to die on a cross as a willing and perfect sacrifice. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and saves us from an eternity in hell. And if you are a Christian, the midnight hour is near. Rejoice. Faint not. Hold on. Let fear be gone. The great hour for which you have awaited is about to strike. The King, long absent, for whom your loving hearts have secretly mourned, at the mention of whose name our hearts have oft leaped for joy. Jesus, the King, is on his way. Blessed midnight hour, hour of hope, hour of joy, hour of gladness, for the King is the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is our Savior. Awake, arise from the dust, shake from your garments for the soiling contents of a fallen world. Wipe away your tears, lift up your eyes to the shining of the glorious Sun of Righteousness. Wait patiently for a little while longer, and the hour shall strike. The midnight hour of gladness and of joy, when you shall go to ever be with your Lord. Take heed now if you are not a Christian. Yes, the midnight hour is upon you also, the hour of God's terrible judgment. If you're not his child, it will be the hour of fate and doom for all those who are not saved by the blood of Christ. The king is coming, and the hour is about to strike. The hour of your judgment, it shall be returned to you. The measure you gave is the measure you will receive. The seed you have sown shall now bear its full harvest. In 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Cry for the rocks to hide you from the wrath of the king, for the king is your judge. He will punish your wickedness and disclose your hypocrisy. In Revelation 6:16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The blood of Christ, it says, hold on a minute, you say. You are not wicked, you're just a good person. But let me tell you this afternoon, unless you have repented and turned from your evil ways and your self-righteousness is not going to get it. Confess to him that you're sorry for the life you've been living and ask him to forgive you. Tell him that by faith you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again after 3 days. By accepting his great sacrifice on the cross, you're assured of forgiveness for your sins and now have a place in heaven for all eternity. But you must come to him with a repentant heart, not just to say, I'm sorry, Lord, and then go on your merry way, but you must repent. The king is coming. It's almost the midnight hour. Are you ready to meet your king? Matthew 25:6-13. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour within the Son of Man cometh. In Matthew 25:6-13. The day is coming. Today is the day of salvation. Repent today. Tomorrow may be too late.
Marketplace is empty. And one of these days, Ben, you'll sing it for the last time. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Faye, busy housewife, will cease their labors. In the courtroom, no more debate. 'Cause work on earth has been suspended. 'Cause the king comes through the gate. Happy faces line the hallways. Those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended. And those from prison has been set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken and ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard.
hopes are now unfolding. Heaven's grand stands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing. Amazing grace.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The King is coming. A lot of people don't seem to think so, but they'll make
Thank
it not
Jesus.
So. He's coming, and he's coming for a church that it's made itself ready. The body of Christ, not after the denomination or the name, but he's coming after a church, that which he purchased with his own blood there on Calvary's cross. My friend, that is the soul of man, them that belong to him, and he knows every one of them. Surely if he knows the hair on the number of the hair on your head, he knows who you are. If he knows, and when a sparrow falls, you know he knows who you are. So I'm just thrilled today to know that with all the disasters and the things are taking place, by reading in the Word of God, and he said, these things must be. And knowing this and believing what the Scripture says and studying on it, and seeing the things that are happening around the land and around the world, in other words, with all these distress of nations and their nations against nations, all the things that has happened. You've heard me preach it before. You've heard others also mention it. But there's some out there, my friend, that's still wanting you to plant your seed in their garden or their bank account. They've got a prosperity thing and everything. Well, God will bless you if you bless him. The Scripture says you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But if you're seeking after the material things of this world and after the riches, the gold and the silver and the things of that, and you're leaving God out of your life, then you're going to come to a disaster. And I just praise God today to know that I believe that his word is truth. I believe that it will come to pass as he said. And some people said, well, this and that and one thing or another. It may be 100 years, but I don't think so. There's too many things happening that's fulfilling according to the Scriptures here that is closer than 100 years. I'm believe that it's closer than what we even think. I'm thinking about looking up, rejoicing for all these things that have happened. I know that the time is getting short. And he said, except those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. It's going to be troubles upon the land, my friend, such as never was before the world began or never hereafter. There's going to be suffering on all hands and all corridors of the world. And it just ain't going to be over there, but it's going to be a lot more right here in this old United States, as we call it. God bless America. Well, God ain't going to bless the sins of American. He's got people all over the world, I'm quite sure. In every nation, he's got somebody that calls upon his name. But from a friend, if you don't call upon the name of the Lord and seek after him, he's not just going to come and, as I heard one fella tell me some years back, that he was going to go to heaven where he wanted to or not, and they got all this here stuff going on. My friend, if you don't repent, and baptized in his name of Jesus, according to the scriptures, you don't belong to the body of Christ. You're just out on a limb somewhere or another, because that's the only way. To him that believeth and is baptized, according to the scriptures, is he can be saved. Otherwise, he's lost. And there ain't but just one kind of people going to get into the kingdom of God, and them which is born again, believing upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he sacrificed for you. A lot of people says all these things is going to be way off in the future. We won't be around. You may be surprised, my friend, that one day you're liable to wake up and find out that things are not like it was when you went to bed. You may come to find out that as the days go along, as you would look at it and understand it and read those scriptures, you'll see that these things are being fulfilled before our eyes right today. Some of you are younger than I am, and some of you probably older than I am. But nevertheless, God's word is still truth. It's going to stand whether you or I want it to stand or not, or whether we like it. It's going to be fulfilled according to the will of God. Isaiah speaks about the days that would come. And people thinks that he talking to Israel there, but he was talking to Israel in these days. There's never a time when Isaiah's scripture being fulfilled has come so close to being fulfilled as it is today, when he said in Isaiah the 13th chapter and the 9th verse, he said, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay his hand land desolate, and shall destroy the sinners, therefore out of it, for the stars of heaven and the constellation therefore shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened and going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine, and he will punish the world for their evils and the wickedness of their iniquity, and shall curse the arrogance and the curse of the arrogance and the proud, and to cease and to lay low the naughtiness and the terribles." My friend, today Isaiah penned this before the Lord came to die on Calvary's cross for you and for me. We've got to the place that we're in. We believe a lot of this philosophy that has came down the road with people wanting to make something out of nothing and change the Word of God. My friend, it can't be changed. If we would begin to study and read in those scriptures and to know and believe that it's the Word of God and accept it as being the truth, then all this other stuff that you've heard that come down the pike, that it won't hold water. The Bible is what I go by, not by what some man has come up with as his interpretation of it. He said, "Well, Brother Compton, you may interpret your way," and they do. I know that true, but it's for no private interpretation. But the Word of God is very plain, and it stands on its own. I don't have to add to it or take away from it. I'm not going to try to. But the time come, he said that there in Matthew 24, and you've heard me say it before, he said in Matthew 24, And it tells us all right there. If you just read it and believe what it says and run the references on it, my friend, you'd find out that the Word of God is throughout from the beginning to the end, warning the people to flee from the wrath of God. Be different from what the world is, and he would receive us. But when he went to come to bring us forth, he says, he wants us to take heed that no man deceive us. For many shall come in my name, saying, "I am Christ," and I'm deceived many. And he shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and all these things and troubles must come to pass, and the end is not yet. My friend, what are we going to do? We've seen all these things happening in yours and my day, and we see that these here, the nations shall rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places. All these things are just the beginning of sorrow. So where are you going to be if you're thinking it's going to be 1,000 years from now before all this happens, when it's happening right today? Why? Because the false prophets have told you that the church, as quote church, the Christian people wouldn't be hell during that time. That's a lie out of hell, and the devil's the father of it. Just because that little woman here back in the 1800s said she was a prophet and she perceived that the church would not go through any tribulations, that ain't what the scripture says. It says that we will be here, and we got to realize that the word of God is not to be taken lightly, although some people won't even believe it. But that's to his loss. But believe me, my friend, these things are going to be. And he said, in the beginning of sorrow, and there shall deliver you up to affliction, and he shall kill you, and he shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then there shall many of it be offended, and shall betray one another. Now, that has already been done down through the years. And and many false prophets arise and shall deceive many, and that's come. There is one man come along here preaching that he was the Christ. He carried them off over yonder in another place and give them all poison Kool-Aid and killed a whole bunch of them. So, my friend, we're living now in days that are closer to the coming of the Son of Man than there ever was. He came one time as a baby. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and they laid him in a manger. And they came, and even to sought to destroy him then, with Herod came, wanted to destroy him. Children from 2 years old on down was butchered and destroyed, trying to kill the King of Kings. He didn't come in this world a king of this world. This world is not his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. But he's bringing us into a kingdom that he has prepared for them that love him and love his appearance. My friend, today, if we would only believe and trust in him, that we could have that hope in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and him, Christ, God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. My friend, we got to realize today that God's word is truth, and he says this gospel must be, first he said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel has went out. It's going out right now on the internet and one thing or another, over the radio waves. I believe it's all just a matter of time. Things are fulfilling rapidly. According to the scriptures and things that are happening, we see that disasters happening all around here in the world, here in the United States, and we're having disasters, and other places we're having disasters and wars and all these things, nations against nations. We find out that these people got tired of their rulers, and they raise up against them, and they call them rebels and things of that nature. But I want you to know, my friend, people are getting tired of tyrants ruling over them and slaying them and everything, and so they're rebelling. But rebellion is part of the end time message. Rebellion against God and even against their nations and all. It's coming. So what are we going to do? Are we going to believe what somebody said? We're going to believe that some man come along and interpreted the fourth chapter of Revelations when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a voice told him, and he turned to see, and there was a door open up into heaven. He said, come up here and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. And they say that was the church raptured out, and that John represented the church being raptured up into heaven. That's not true, for the simple fact that John was on the Isle of Patmos to write to the seven churches of Asia at that time. And then he was released and brought back to the mainland, and he died an old man. My friend, is that what's going to happen to the church? I don't think so, because it says that we would forever be with the Lord. God has got a place prepared for them that love him and his appearing, that seek after the kingdom of God with their whole heart, and he's going to come and receive them one day. Then you have some of these that comes around and writing their books about that them was left here after the catching away of the bride of Christ, and they going to have a second chance. They didn't have a second chance when Noah went into the ark. 7 days the door remained open, but none of them got in. And when God shut the door and the rain began to fall, they didn't get in. When Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, there they didn't. Nobody get out. They was all destroyed by the fire. And my wife was reading there just a little bit ago about the 10 virgins. Now they was all virgins, evidently. The scripture says they was. Five was wise and five was foolish. Five of them kept the oil in the lamp. They kept the spiritual part of God seeking in their very soul, and they kept the light burning and going forth for the glory of God, praying and seeking after the kingdom of God. Five of them went to sleep, evidently. They let other things creep into their lives. The cares of this world and everything came into their lives. Their lamp went out. Their oil diminished, and it wouldn't shine their light. So when they was gone to get some oil, the Lord came, and they got them all into the marriage supper. Then the door was shut, just like it was on the ark. God shut the door, and when them that came looking, knocking on the door, Lord, let us in. He said, I don't know you. I don't know from which you came. I never knew you. My friend, where is the second opportunity? The scripture does not say that. Don't believe these false teachers and false preachers that comes around with this kind of second chance opportunity. If you got caught and went to prison for a couple of 3 years, and when you'd served your time, then you got a second chance. But you go and jump out there and rob somebody else or something other, then you're going to go back to jail. My friend, today we got to realize that the Word of God is truth. But he says in the 29th verse of the book of Matthew 24, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the coming of the man in heaven, and he shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. My friend, today you're going to have it all right with the Lord. You're going to have to repent and live the life. You can't go back into the things of the world. Peter, one time when the Lord was crucified and they all thought it was all over with, and Peter said, I go a fishing. They followed him over there. But when they had fished all night, didn't catch nothing, Jesus appeared on the shore there, and he asked them, did they have any meat? And they said, no, we toiled all night and caught nothing. He said, cast on the right side. Honey, you got to be on the right side. And when they cast it out there, they brought in a multitude of fish. But when John looked over there, to whom loved Jesus and Jesus loved him, he told Peter, he said, Peter, it's the Lord. Peter had a habit of fishing without his clothes on. And when John told him that it was the Lord, Peter grabbed his old fish coat and he wrapped his naked body with it and jumped into the sea there. My friend, a lot of people is done, but know the way, but they've come to lay down the robe of righteousness. They become naked in the sight of God. I want to warn you to come back to God. Don't go in your own facetious ways, walking in the ways of the world, seeking after pleasures of this world and the things thereof, but begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Repent of your backslidden conditions and come back to the Lord. Some people says that you can't backslide. Well, the Bible says you can. If you turn away from God and go to seeking after other things but him, then you're going to lose out somewhere or another. God ain't going to take you with all the filthiness and the desires of this flesh and all the things that you'd accumulate along this road. He didn't take Paul. Paul was a righteous, under the law, Paul was a righteous in his own sight, but he come face to face with the glory of God, and a light there shine unto him, and he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It's hard to kick against the bricks. And my friend, if you're kicking against the plan of salvation and you think you can make it without Jesus, you're badly mistaken. It's going to take him and his righteousness, because yours and mine are but filthy rags. It's going to be by his righteousness, by his grace, through faith in him and through the shed blood that was paid your sin debt. It ain't going to be because somebody come down the road with the Bible tucked under his arm and said, follow me, like the Pied Piper did, blowing his pipe, and all the rats supposed to follow him in and jumped into the sea. If you do that, my friend, you're going to come up short. But believe what the word, that's why I encourage you to believe the word of God. Read your Bible for yourself. Don't take nobody's word for it. Read what it says and believe what the word of God says, because it'll steer you right. Many people think there that it's just a myth. It's something that somebody wrote to make people feel good and to do right. Well, it was a pretty good idea, but that ain't the whole method of it. My friend, if it did, because some people read the Word of God, they said, yeah, I believe it, but then they go out and kill their neighbor's dog and all that kind of stuff and do all kinds of things. We have people that get high up in the leadership of this nation and others, it turns out to be something different. They get into some kind of trouble, then they get persecuted for it. So where do you think we're going to be, honey? Just a lay member? We need salvation, plain and simple. We need Jesus to come into our life. Cleanse us from all the filthiness of the flesh and the unrighteousness and the sins of this world, and help us there. It's just been a known fact. Even to our leaders have come to the place to where they, desires of the flesh got the best of them. They went and committed adultery or all kinds of things, stealing or whatever. My friend, today, it's not God's will that any should perish, but he said that all should come to repent. So it don't make no difference how high up on the corporate ladder you may get or how high you may get in politics. If you don't trust in the Lord, it's not going to prevail you anything. You can be lost and go and die and go to hell, and the devil ain't going to take your credentials and say, well, we'll put you in an air-conditioned place, because your credentials ain't going to amount to nothing. Neither will they be to help you get into the kingdom of God. You're not going to carry your bank book up there and write God a check and say, how much can I make it out to you, Lord, to let me in? And your checkbook ain't going to be there, my friend. It's going to be gone. All of this stuff is material things. It's going to be gone. When the rich man and them goes to throwing their gold and their finances and all into the caves and with the bats and everything and crying for the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne, and you're going to write him a check and to let you get into the kingdom of God? I don't think so. Your sin's going to have to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You're going to have your name on the Lamb's book of life. You're going to have to be one of his, and he knows you. My friend, today we got to look into the scriptures and find where we are and what we are and what we should do and what we should not do. We're going to have to believe what God has to say instead of everything that comes down the road and says this is good and tell you how great you are and how well you look. Honey, you might look like me, like an old mud fence, been beat out there and dried out hung out on the fence and dried in the mud and everything. But honey, my heart is clean with the salvation of God, and I may not be pretty to this world, but thank God he don't look on the outside, but he looks on the heart. And that's the main thing. It don't make no difference what you look like, whether you got a lame foot or whatever else. All that stuff is not going, but the scripture says it would be better to go into the kingdom of God blinded or some kind of wrong where you halted, crippled and everything, than to go into hell with a whole body. I don't believe in the kingdom of God there's going to be any sickness or blindness or anything else. It's going to be all joy and peace forevermore with them that make it into the kingdom of God. All your worries will be over. All your aches and your bones will be done away with. You'll have a new body, fashioned like that one that Jesus came out of the tomb with. I want you to know today, my friend, it's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you don't make it by the grace of God, you ain't going to make it. If you don't repent, you ain't going to make it. You got to come the way that the scripture said. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth of the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Many come and they tried to climb up another way. He calls them a thief and a robber. He says, and you know that ain't no thieves and robbers going to inherit the kingdom of God. No adulteries, no murderers. None of these things is going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's going to be righteousness. His righteousness is going to say, mine's filthy rags just like yours. But it's his righteousness I'm relying upon. The cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb that to cleanse me from my filthiness and bring forth the righteousness of, hallelujah, of God in my life. It's not me, it's him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's time we take time for Jesus. We take time for the ball games and all these other kind of things and everything. We get there and hoop, yell, and holler for this team and that team and one thing or another. But friends, it's time that we should take time for Jesus and put him in our, let him come into our lives and put him into there and look to him, praise and worship in him instead of going and wasting your time and your efforts into something that's going to bring you down into the road of destruction. Jesus is our only hope. If it had been possible to wrote his name on the ballot and it would have been meant something other and it could have got him elected, that the world would have to turn to him, I would have wrote his name down on there, big print. But the world's not seeking after him, my friend. It's an individual. It's you and I seeking after the kingdom of God and seeking after him, that he would lead us into the place of righteousness for his name's sake. Mark mentions about in Mark 14 and 24, he said, but in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels to the, shall gather the elect from one into heaven to the other. My friends, we got to realize the scripture cannot be broken. If all of them wrote about it, it's got to be truth. Whether we believe it or not, it ain't going to make no difference. If you believe in it, you'll repent. If you don't believe in it, you'll die and go to hell. It's what the devil's after. Non-believers. That's why they're going to perish, because of their unbelief. And Mark, this 21st chapter, he says, in the 24th verse, he said, and they shall all fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall lead away captives in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations, which perplex the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for the fear of the things that are coming upon the world. My friend, we see it. Young people are dying with heart attacks, and they're just because that they're fearful. They don't seem to be. Well, you don't know what's in their hearts like God does. You don't know what goes on in a man's mind, in his heart. My friend, we got to realize that God knows it all. He's the one that had died for us. He's made everything possible that you don't have to go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, them that just thought that they would climb above God and take over. A lot of people that they go and try to make laws to make them be big. Some of the corporate leaders, they want to down one another where they can get to be top shelf on the corporate ladder. But my friend, Jesus has been on top all the time, and he always will be. Nothing you nor I or nobody can say that's going to unseat him out of the throne of glory. It's just utterly impossible. But we got to come to him. We got to come to the cross where he bled and died for us, because on the at the cross, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. It ain't no big man, rich man, poor man, beggar, a thief, or nothing else. They're all, in the sight of God, they're all same. And he will accept you if you come to repent. But be in mind that you're going down the road and you praying to God, said, Lord, let me and my girlfriend get back together, and you don't know God, or you help me buy this automobile and or this or whatever, make it plain, and you don't know God, your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life, you hadn't repented of your sin, your prayer is not going to be answered, my friend. Only time God's going to answer a sinner's prayer is on the prayer of repentance. And that's not just standing up there and raising your hand and prayer, a prayer of sinner's prayer. It's not no scripture for it. He said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and you're on your way to glory. Don't believe that. He said, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you come and repent. And he said he would no wise cast you out. My friend, you got to come by the way of the scripture says, not because I said it, but because the word of God says it. If the word of God says it, we got to believe it, or elsewise we'll perish. It's plain and simple. I've been a long time reading in this word of God, and I haven't found no place to where it's wrong. I've found it more and more as I read and study it. I find it more infallible and no fouls in it and everything. Some people praying to a man over yonder somewhere in Italy and said he's the infallible Holy Father. He ain't nothing but a bow-legged hypocrite any way you want to look at it. He's a man just like you are, and he is fallible. Ain't but one infallible, and that's God himself. And I want you to think about it. You pray to him, and these other people are praying to these other gods and whatever else they're praying to. It's all futile, my friend. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We come into one part, one glory, one God, and over us all. And Jesus is his name. Matthew 28:19, when Jesus told the apostles there, he said, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel, and them that believe, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He specifically had a name to go by, and Father is, I'm a father, and I'm a son also, but that ain't my name. My name is Earl Compton, but I want you to know God's name that he gave us in the New Testament is Jesus. It was in the old is Lord God Almighty. It come to be even Jehovah, but in the New Testament he said his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, there's no other name given. So we got to realize the word of God is truth. Whether you want to accept it or not, that's entirely up to you. God ain't going to make you do it, and I can't make you do it. But the time comes when you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then you hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Then you're going to wish you had done it, but it'd be too late. You won't have that second chance. Ain't no lawyer going to jump up and say, hey, we want a new trial. It's all over and done with. But to them that love his appearing, them that have been born again, them that has been washed by the blood of the Lamb and have that spiritual implication of God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost within them, as a river of flowing water coming up there, I want you to know they're going to hear that sound. welcome in, my well and done faithful servant. That's going to be a joyful time for them that goes into the kingdom of God. But to them that have turned away, it's going to be some sad singing and some slow walking. My friend, it's come time. We got to get down to basics. The midnight hour is coming, and we don't know the day or the hour. But he said, unless in those days be short, and no flesh will be saved. I don't know how short it'll be. I don't know when he's coming. I would even venture to try to tell you any time, because everyone that has tried to predict his return has been false. It's not been true. When the Bible says that even to the angels in heaven don't know the time of the day, it's all given unto the Father. He's got it in reserve, and I don't know. He hadn't told me, and I ain't asked him, but he told me to watch and be prepared. Be ready, watch and pray, for the hour cometh when I think not. And that is what I go by. I don't know the day or the hour, but I'm watching and praying, because it may take me any time. It could be that I go by the way of the grave instead of being caught up in the rapture, as they call it, or by the saints of God. My friend, it's time we realize that this day and hour that we're living in is perilous times. We got to understand that the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. Now, one more thing here, right quick. In Revelations in the 13th chapter, and then he opened up and he said, when the devil is going to come into as a mark of the beast, in other words, the old Antichrist comes, and it was given him a mouth to speak. It's in the 5th verse in the 13th chapter, the 5th verse. He said, and there was given him a mouth to speak great things, and blasphemed, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with his saints and to overcome them, and power was given him to kindreds and tongues and nations, and them that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man haveth an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killed with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints, and they beheld another beast coming up. My friend, that we got to realize that the scripture bears record that there's going to be some suffering for the saints before Jesus comes. I see my time is about gone, but we just pray that God will touch your heart and touch your heart in a way that you will understand. Let me encourage you to read your Bible. Not because I said it or some other preacher said it, but read your Bible and find out what it has to say about the days that we live. So, Lord, bless you and keep you is our prayer. And the address will be given unto you. And if you want to write to us and help us in any way, we would deeply be appreciated. And may God bless you. Lord, bless them and touch them, O Lord, in the mind of the hearts, and that they will receive you into their Savior. And we give you the praise and the glory for all things in Jesus' name. Till next week, take time for Jesus.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And life